Friday, everyone. I know you all have been waiting for this particular day of the week. So, a relaxed day, but indeed, a drive-through HR. It's a learning session for every one of us who are tuned in to drive-through HR, the number one internet daily radio show for the HR professionals. And if you are on the go, you can listen to us by dialing 2-347-996-5600 and send us your questions on Twitter with the hashtag DTHR, and we will be able to pull that up. So without further ado, let's talk to our guest, Adam Robinson. Adam, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Thanks for having me.
Great. So how are you, Adam?
Doing great. As we were talking briefly before, it's an exciting time of the year for the HR industry with HR tech around the corner. So certainly no shortage of things going on in the industry right now.
I know. Busy time for you and an exciting time for all of the HR tech entrepreneurs out there in terms of going there and experiencing that great conference. So, Adam, why don't you kick off the show with a brief intro and let our audience know who you are and what you do.
Sure. My name is Adam Robinson. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Hireology. We're a Chicago-based talent technology platform that sells primarily to decentralized companies. What that means is any multi-location business that has lots of locations all hiring the same kinds of people. That's the markets we serve. It includes franchise systems, dealer networks, retailers, multi-site manufacturers, anyone that has decentralized hiring and selection needs, likely has decentralized human resources and very light field support. That's who we're selling to. We do that with a combination of what we think is a really easy-to-use platform wrapped around our proprietary data and analytics engine that helps everyday managers be better at running a hiring process and picking the right people.
Great. So helping managers doing the right hire, which is indeed is going to be a key factor when it comes to bringing the right person to an organization that is going to impact the success of an organization too. So while helping a lot of clients, what is keeping you up at night these days?
Well, I mean, what's keeping me up at night these days is, I would say, it's the size of the market opportunity and all of the activity going on in the space. From an investment standpoint, is really nothing short of a land grab right now. It's a really prolific time for HR technology. Let's call this wave three, of HR tech. And I think this wave is all about delivering real value to the business side of the business. And what keeps me up at night is making sure we're focused on the right things to make sure we're growing in the way we need to grow and serving our customers well.
Great. So what is that key questions that normally get asked when you are working with a lot of clients and figuring out their hiring needs?
So what's the question?
Well, while working with a lot of clients, what is that key question that you normally get asked when you're helping their hiring processes?
Well, I think it all comes down to this question. I mean, what level of support are you providing your managers as it relates to hiring and selection? Our view of the world is HR technology has always traditionally been about solving the administrative challenges for HR professionals. And so you've seen systems in wave one, time and attendance, or payroll, or benefits management, or compensation analysis. you know, help me solve this administrative problem, help me do this more efficiently. Wave two was all about the, you know, internet recruiting and social media-based recruiting and sourcing and better and more efficient ways to use technology to do these things. And I think wave three, and we're probably about 12 to 18 months into this third wave, is all about delivering outcomes. So, you know, what is the actual function of HR technology? It's not HR technology for HR technology's sake. It's so HR can deliver value to the business using data and better workflow, so that the people that are the end user of this stuff, and that's the hiring manager, gets what they need to be better at managing, growing their business and achieving business goals. And that's the strategic value of HR. And it's a huge opportunity right now.
Great. So while we're talking more about how technology can help the hiring process, what have you seen from a candidate experience perspective? How does technology help improve the candidate experience?
I think our industry has done a pretty poor job historically of taking the candidate experience into consideration. You would think by looking at a lot of the solutions out on the market, particularly incumbent solutions, that the industry thinks candidates are willing to do just about anything that's asked of them in order to submit a resume for a position. Filling out 6-page applications, answering seemingly bizarre questions, taking umpteen different surveys or upfront tests. And I don't think that's the way the world works. I think there's a fundamental reality in our business, and that's best people always have jobs and are always looking at more opportunities than they can handle. So they're in demand. So, you know, we believe that the best people are probably less willing to jump through all of those hoops in order to look at a new opportunity. So that candidate experience for that high-quality, top-tier candidate needs to be minimally invasive and actually err on the side of marketing the opportunity, you know, because they've got lots of options. So what can technology do to vet those to find and vet those candidates in a way that doesn't make them feel like they're doing meaningless administrative tasks and that their information is going to be dropped into a black hole and they'll never hear back? You know, the state of the candidate experience is improving. I think it's a huge opportunity. It's not our sole focus as an organization, but it is a big deal. The data we're tracking shows really direct correlation between the amount of steps in an application and the amount of candidates of a top-tier quality that actually apply and finish that application. So the less you ask for, the more good people you get. That creates challenges, but it's our job as a HR tech vendor community to solve these problems for the customer.
Great. And in the beginning, you talked a little bit about data and workflow. So how should an HR professionals or even recruiters look at their data to improve their hiring strategies?
It's a question everybody's asking right now. I would suggest the first step is understand what end result you're looking for. That's most important. I think a mistake people make is tracking lots of data without really understanding the purpose of tracking it. So tracking everything is great, but what are the 3 or 4 things that are most predictive of telling you is this working or not? That's going to be different for every organization. It's a huge opportunity for today's recruiting and HR professional to deliver, as I said before, big strategic value to the business. So as an organization, we say we want better people for this type of position. Let me share with you the 3 things I think that are indicative of how we're doing. That's the kind of opportunity that that exists for professionals today. And again, for the vendor community, our focus should be on understanding what's most important and delivering it in a meaningful and easy to digest way.
So what do you think is some of the key points that HR professionals are missing, or they don't even get it when they use the HR technology? Because ultimately when we say, yeah, we do have technologies and tools to help us do our job better, but if you don't know how to use it, and if you don't know how to use it strategically, as you said in the beginning, that's going to be a failure, right?
Well, certainly, and I would frame it differently. I would say that the tool set is getting more advanced, but I don't mm-hmm. know that we're doing the best job we could be doing to translate this data into a meaningful format for the business. So tell me why this is important. That's something we as an industry don't do a great job of doing. We tell ourselves, right, we preach to the choir. We, of course, as HR mm-hmm. professionals know why it's important, but can the products and the tools deliver it in a way that a business manager, division manager, C-level manager is going to understand immediately? That's, again, it's a challenge. It's a huge opportunity. And there's some companies out there attacking that in various ways and having some success. But again, it's all about making it actionable and usable that in a way that drives the business forward, not just makes HR more efficient. That is, you know, the returns on more efficiency, you know, that was really the last generation of HR technology. There's certainly efficiency gains to drive in large enterprises, but this is more about helping the business make better decisions than it is helping HR do administrative tasks faster. I think those problems have been solved, is what I'm saying.
That's true. So while I'm an HR professional, and when I'm talking to my executives about buying a technology, they normally come up with an ask first question of, you know, the ROI factor when it comes to we are using any tools and technology and the time and effort that we are going to do on that. So what is your take when it comes to buying an HR technology? What are some questions that HR professionals should be asking from their end that is directly related to answering the ROI factors?
Again, it starts with the end result you're looking for. So, you know, give you an example. If you're an organization evaluating whether or not to implement a better applicant tracking system, let's say,
mm-hmm.
you know, what's the ROI? Well, there's a couple of different ROIs, but not all of them are ones that executive might be interested in investing in. So there may be an ROI in, you know, fewer headcount required to process candidates. There may be an ROI in better visibility into where candidates are coming from. So therefore, we make better investments in where we post and market the position. All of those things may be important. But if the executive doesn't care about either of those things, you know, ROI is in a lot of ways subjective. I might not care about the returns that we're discussing. So, mm-hmm. you know, the HR professionals need to understand which ROI is the meaningful one. How does it impact and drive the business forward? So I would suggest that someone coming to present an HR technology investment to me or you know, someone in my position would say, look, these are all the things that we're going to get out of it in our organization, but let me share with you how this is going to impact the business overall and connect it to something on that executive's scorecard or dashboard or KPI or quarterly objectives or whatever the measurement is. You know, that ROI has to help that executive move their goals forward. And I think that's a mistake I see a lot of folks make is failing to connect it to the broader objectives of the organization. And that forces the, I think rightfully so, HR professional to understand the goals of the business, which I think, you know, our industry does a great job of doing, But the opportunity there to be strategic is to connect to those objectives. And that's how these decisions get green-lighted.
Great. So let's do a quick shout-out to our audience and do a reset. Hey, everyone, you are listening to Drive Through HR, and we are talking with our wonderful guest, Adam Robinson from Hirology.com. And he's talking more about how technology can help you in your hiring process and do a better job of it. So while we were talking more about the questions on ROI factor, Adam, the last 5 years, I think, we have seen the emergence of social, mobile, even video and cloud. So now if you can talk a little bit about probably what's going to be the future of recruiting, what could be from a technology perspective?
Sure. Well, I think over the last 2 years, there have been lots of, I would call, point solutions solving one specific area of challenge for business or HR. So you've had video interviewings or better telephone interviews or a better way to deliver assessments or a better way to report on results, and certainly lots of algorithmic hiring, better simplified applicant tracking for Main Street businesses. All of these things have proliferated in the last couple of years, and there's been some success there. And I think the proof is the fact that these companies are receiving second and third rounds of investment. It means there's some success there. But what will, I think, naturally start to happen, and I would predict this happens over the next 18 months, is you're going to see point solutions necessarily finding platforms in order to get distribution scale. So, you know, the inevitable cycle of consolidation, I think it starts to happen in 2015. I think you're going to start to see the more successful point solutions start to navigate toward platforms, either through acquisition or merger or broadening their roadmaps. They're just going to need to do more for their customers. Let's say this. The massive opportunity in HR technology is to sell to the 95% of companies in the world that don't have anything. You know, how do you do for HR technology what Constant Contact did for marketing, as an example? That opportunity is one you can see being played out right now. You just look at the vendor list at HR Tech. It's less about the big systems and more about Main Street platforms. So that's really where the growth is. I think those platforms are going to broaden. I think you're going to see a lot of consolidation. And I think you're going to know 18 months from now who the new players, the new leading players in this third wave are going to be. It's going to be a really impactful year for HR Tech. 2015, 2016 is the horse race is on, as it were.
Indeed. Well, look forward to. So, Adam, I got to ask you an entrepreneurship question, because you have been so successful launching Hirology and then bringing that baby as a success star in the industry, right? So how did you get started, or what were some of these initial challenges that you had in the beginning, and how did you overcome that?
Sure. I think HR technologies always start out from one of two perspectives. You're either a practitioner who's identified a problem or an opportunity, and you know, through that lens, you figured out how to pull engineering capability together to produce a solution. Or the flip side of that is from an engineering background, a product development or coding background, and you've identified a problem in the market, and then you immediately start building a solution, and then product management and market focus comes after that. And so it's interesting. You can really tell what paradigm a company comes from by looking at how they do what they do and how they talk about what they do. You know, for our perspective has been from the practitioner standpoint. So before Hireology, I had helped found and grow a recruitment outsourcing business. And what we found in that business was that our customers were horrible at doing interviews. They're just terrible at it, as many people listening mm-hmm. can relate to. If the hiring manager doesn't know what they're looking for, what to ask in an interview or how to measure what they hear, it's a coin flip. And, you know, most RPO providers find out that hitting service level agreements is largely out of their control if their customer doesn't have the process. So that was certainly the case with us. A system that we would make our customers use if they wanted to hold us to service level agreements. And as the economy went from, you know, hyper growth to massive recession in 2008, the value prop changed. And the market needed less recruitment outsourcing, and they needed more workflow and data-driven processing because there were more candidates they were dealing with. And so our customers started saying, I'm not as interested in your service, but boy, I really like that product you've got us using. So over a period of years, you know, we maneuvered out of the service side of the business and ended up effectively the commercialization of a lot of the concepts that had been developed on the service side when I was running that business. And so it was an awareness of an acute pain point in the market, and that's everyday managers are really bad at this stuff. So the solution has always been focused from day one on helping that everyday manager or operator be great at hiring and selection. And that's how the business got started and evolved from there.
Great. So let me ask you that key question at this point. If I haven't asked this question, I will be not using this opportunity. So what are some of the top reasons managers make bad hiring decisions?
That's a great question. I think the number one reason is because they don't have a process. I mean, no one teaches you how to do interviewing. It's not a skill. They don't teach it in college. They don't teach it in a master's business program. They don't teach it to you when you become a manager. I mean, in some cases, maybe 5 to 10% range, but most managers never get training on how to run interviews, what to look for, how to understand how to build a job requirement or what a profile is. Nobody knows how to do it, but everybody's asked to do it. So, you know, you've got what amounts to the single biggest line item in most companies' budget, and that's the labor cost. And there's no process for procuring the decision. It's every manager has their own gut-based process, and some people are better at it than others. But the number one issue is most people don't know what they're doing. And it's just the reality is the second reason is just everybody's busy. So, you know, the interview is something that most managers just want to get through. And they feel that, you know, they can make the call based on the results of an ad hoc discussion. And it's, you know, in most cases, just not the case. So mm-hmm. I would give you those are the top two reasons. One, people really don't know the skills. And two, they haven't created the space to have the time to do it properly.
So from an HR point of view, how should they help these hiring managers to fix those problems that you have highlighted?
Well, I think it's all about expectation setting. So what I like to tell managers or executives who are about to enter a period of hiring where it's a constant process we're going to be running is I will tell executives, I want you to understand that in order for us to run this process successfully, you're going to need to spend 20 to 30% of your time interviewing candidates over the next 60 days. You know, that's 1 to 2 days a week. Every week for the next 60 days, I need your commitment to give me that time. Are you prepared to do that? And if the answer is anything other than no, we have some work to do. Because what inevitably what will happen is that manager will start canceling interviews at the last second. They'll start moving schedule around. The good people won't wait around. The process will drag. And then ultimately I'm accountable for not delivering a result. And I think if the expectation was set and commitment was obtained up front, I'm going to get a much better result. And that's a role we can play. I mean, that's our job. We're setting that expectation up front. We're educating the manager on what it really takes to pick the right people, and we're giving them the tools that they need to be successful in the selection process, because we can only do so much. Ultimately, the manager is going to own that decision.
Absolutely. Well, Adam, we have about 3 minutes left at this point, and I'm going to ask this question that is your tagline, the science behind hiring. So what is the science behind hiring?
Well, it means different things to different people, certainly. But, you know, for us, we believe that if you understand the inputs, right, the scored factors that are important and meaningful to predicting an outcome, and you also know what happens after a decision's been made, right, did the person perform well or not, then you can start to draw correlations between the things you measured on the front end and the outcomes that happened on the back end. So to us, the science of hiring is all about predicting the likelihood that someone can meet performance outcomes as they've been defined. And really all we do, collect data on which inputs lead to which outputs and what the percentage likelihood is that these things are going to happen. Of course, we don't make our customers do any of that math. We mask that and put it into a really simple interface. But, you know, to us, our science that we're focused on is really underwriting and risk prediction is the business we're in.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining with us on Drive Through HR. And we are always happy to have you again on Drive Through HR. So, Adam, where can people come and find you and find out more details about Hirology? And you are going to attend HR Tech, so how can they find you?
Sure, yeah. Anyone today listening that wants to know more can find us at hirology.com, hirology.com. Anyone that will be in Vegas for HR Tech, please come find us. We'll be the folks with the white lab coats. Standing at the booth with the beaker bubbling over with dry ice. So come find us. We'd love to have a conversation with you and certainly look forward to seeing everyone in a couple of weeks.
Wonderful. So good luck with HR Tech and good luck with all the projects that you are doing at Hirology. So to our audience, that was Adam Robinson from Hirology. Stay tuned to know more details about how technology can help you in your hiring processes. Well, bye-bye, Adam, and talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. So have a wonderful weekend to everyone. Bye-bye, and we will all talk to you next time.
It is the truth, because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you, because I'm